We hit him. black and gold, like a black and gold. If you don't like it, then use the exit. To hell with it. I'm losing you out when I made it. I did it. Mission completed. Suck it up, beat it. I'm president, beat it. But yet, I can't see it. So please be aware that this is a war. If the truth gets buried, that's what it's made for. From that, so lay on the floor. Call it a return, you'll score more sure. The beat your feet, the search for the beat your front, the rock, the cap, the rap, the reach up. Musical master, ground me at Hazza. Way back Hazza. No, it's a Nazza.
I'm like rolling, holding, holding, and I messed up. I should have listened when my mama told me. Peace. Welcome once again to First World Order Radio. And tonight we have discussions on Mars, Holy Temple of Science, and particularly the sciences of life. Let me bring up my co-hosts. We have Brother Olabala coming on. Brother, you here?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Peace.
Peace, Doc. How you doing today?
I'm great. I'm ready to get in.
All right. Let me bring on Brother R.L. Grand Sheik. You here?
Peace, Morris.
Peace.
Islam, how you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty well, Morris. How the Morris doing today? All right.
We're going to get into the whole Quran Circle 7. And what we're going to get into, we're going to begin to start going through each chapter. So we want to start out with the first chapter, which is Know Thyself and Thy Father God Allah. And basically, of course, it reads as follows. And then, of course, you know, as we do commentary, you know, from what we have read and studied, and then show people the interconnections, you know, in comparative religious study, in history, in philosophy, metaphysics, etc., esoteric teachings. So it says, the genealogy of Jesus was 18 years of the event. Life, work, and teachings in India, Europe, and Africa. These events occurred before he was 30 years of age. These secret lessons are from all of those who love Jesus and desire to know about his life, works, and teaching. Dear reader, do not falsely use these lessons. They are for good, peace, and happiness for all those that love Jesus. Dear mothers, teach the lessons to your little ones, that they may learn to love instead of hate. Dear father, by these lessons, you can set your house in order, and your children will learn to love instead of hate. The lessons of this pamphlet are not for sale, but for the sake of humanity, as I am a prophet, and the servant is worthy of his hire. You can receive this pamphlet at expense. The reason these lessons have not been known is because the Muslims of India, Egypt, and Palestine had these secrets and kept them from the outside world. And when the time appointed by Allah, they opened the keys and freed these secrets. And for the first time in ages, have these secrets been delivered in the hands of the Muslims of America. All authority and rights of publishing of this pamphlet of 1927. All right. So we read that. You know, what is your thoughts on knowing thyself and thy father, God Allah, and what Prophet Noble Trolley broke down here about first the genealogy of Jesus with the 18 years of events, life, works, and teachings in India, Europe, and Africa? Of course, we know that. In your Bible, Jesus supposedly said he had to go be about his father's business at the age of 12. After that event of him teaching the rabbis, the lawyers, the scholars, et cetera, in the temple or in the synagogue, he is no longer, we hear nothing else from Jesus for 18 years until the age of 30, and he comes before John the Baptist to get baptized in the River Jordan. The Holy Quran, Circle 7, deals with the 18 said missing years. Let's get into the numerology behind this Jesus and what does Jesus actually mean coming from the lessons, you know. So, Brother Olabala, you want to start out?
You want me to start out with the meaning of Jesus?
Anything in which that you want to tap into as far as what we just read and went over? Yes, anything.
Well, basically, I mean, what I see is we just, you know, we have to look at it from a metaphysical perspective as far as looking at these teachings, you know, because if you study the teachings of Egypt, Palestine, India. You know, it's dealing with yoga science, which means union.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we really have to tap into this type of teachings to really understand these lessons, you know, or they'll just go over your head, really.
Sure, indeed. Brother L, you got anything you want to add to that?
Yes. Well, yes, you can say from yoga science, and I would like to say also from astrology, well, dealing with cosmology and yoga
right.
science as well, especially when he said he was 12 years of age, as dealing with maybe he's completed the 12 zodiac cycle of each constellation of the stars.
Right.
And relates with it to the 12 years of age of
mm-hmm.
Jesus. Yes.
Right.
Yes. I agree with all that. And
Okay.
It touched on that when it said and when the time appointed by Allah they loosened the keys and freed the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in ages have these secrets have been delivered in the hands of the Muslims of America.
Mm-hmm.
It mentioned the time appointed, and it also mentioned ages, which is talking about the different cycles of time, which you're talking about as far as astrology and everything else, because you're dealing with ages.
Right, and plus you know that it has been said that This book is connected to another book in which that comes from the Rosicrucian Infinite Wisdom Lessons, in which that is called Unto Thee I Grant, but it is also connected to the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's called the Aquarian Gospel, and basically it's the end of the Piscean Age and the beginning of the Aquarian Age.
Yeah.
And that's what this is talking about. And so, of course, Jesus symbolizes the 12th his 12 disciples symbolizes, I should say, the 12 zodiac signs, the constellation in which that brother Grand Sheik was speaking of. And that's what it means by, you know, he came of age, or he had to go be about his father's business, because now he was symbolic to the Son, not just the S-O-N of God, but the S-U-N of God. And then, of course, at the age of 30, talking about each of the 12 signs, there's a 30-degree increment in between each of them. All right? So if you add 30 times 12, you get 360. So that symbolizes that also. So the 18 so-called missing years is talking about the significance behind really 18. If you look on the chart of Freemasonry, you can see that 18 happens to be on the Scottish right side, happens to be the degree in which that is equivalent to the heart chakra, which is the 18 vertebrates, but it is also connected to the Rose of Cross, or Rose of Cruz, which is the Rosicrucian degree in the Scottish rites, in which that also symbolizes 1 plus 8, which equals the number 9, in which that means to bring forth or bring things into existence or to born, you know, so... In other words, it is part of being an architecture, a mason, as we would say, or a builder, all right? These are all the code words. This is why it says Jesus was the head cornerstone, all right? Bob Marley said in one of his songs that the stone that the builders refuse will always be head cornerstone.
This is why Dr. York was, when he brought the sun to the green light, ended up being, that green light is dealing with that chakra.
That heart chakra,
And he also said it was an order of love, you know, which is dealing with that, that chakra, which is green.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually Mayat. When you add up, you know, when you say the five, you know, what is known as love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, the first one is love. Which we know that those five elements or five attributes are actually of those of Mayak. You know?
Yeah.
And, of course, within the ancient connections, Mayak will add two more. So we will add harmony as well as also peace. I mean balance, excuse me. So harmony and balance. So, you know, or order. So those are the ones in which that symbolizes. So we know that we're studying the profound secrets, because this is what he means right here when he says that the reason that these lessons have not been known is because the Muslims of India, Egypt, and Palestine had these secrets and kept them back from the outside world. And when the time appointed by Allah to loosen the keys and free these secrets, well, we understood that some say that the Aquarian Age began to come in around 1844. All right? You know, it was the ending of slavery not too long after that. You know that we went into the Reconstruction era. You know that, of course, after that, the Jim Crow, you know, then the Civil Rights Movement, the Black Power Movement, you know, is now we're into the metaphysical movement in which that is hinting right upon the age of 2012. So we're in that season, you know what I'm saying, right after that, you know, of course, with the Olmec and Mayan calendar. So we are in that particular season, you know, of that manifestation. So when we get into the science of ancient masonry, because that's really what we're talking about, which is the ancient mysteries school of Egypt, or Kemet, or Tamaray, or Temeria. All right? The ancient secrets were called Herbach, which means the light teaching. Her, which is Heru, means the light. Bach means as a teaching, to deliver, to dispense, to educate. So these were called the light teaching. All right? In other words, the teachings of Heru. So all monotheistic belief systems and the secret societies all study the Herbach teachings. So whether you call yourself a Muslim or Islamic, Jewish or Judaism, Christianity, Christian, or whether you call yourself a Buddhist, a Hinduist, or what is known as a yogi, or a yoga practitioner, whether you call yourself a Shinto or Dao, you know what I'm saying? Whatever school that you're talking about, you're actually talking about the extension of the ancient mystery school as it went throughout the diaspora and went into the various countries over the last, actually, based on the teachings of Gerald Massey. In his book, Gerald Massey's Lectures, he states specifically that for the last 52,000 years, that is equal to two precessions of an equinox. Right? So a great age is equivalent to about 26,000, or what is known as 25,928 years, to be right and exact. Only the last Muhammad just averaged out to being 25,000 years, in which that was known as a Holy Quran.
Right.
Which is a cycle of time. All right? The word Holy Quran means cycle of time. In other words, the word holy coming from the word helios or halo in Latin and Greek means sun. And then the word Quran stemming from the word chronos or chronos or chronology symbolizes an age or time or cycle. Okay, so this is what we are really going into tonight, is these secrets and why they had to be revealed, because we know that these secrets have never been to the forefront as we have them now. You can go and study prior to the coming of age of the internet, you know, so before 1998, 97, before the internet got to the point that it is now. Even though the internet somewhat existed back only to 1992, 93, still, it was never to the way it was until around 98, and computers was, you know, became almost a necessity for almost everyone to have in
right.
some shape, form, or fashion. But if you get Gerald Massey's book, and of course he's the foremost Egyptologist, his Gerald Massey's lectures, and also his Ancient Egypt, the Life of the World, he named Freemason, he stated that the name Freemason is derived from the ancient metal word Freemason. That's Phreemessen. All right? In which that means a child of the light. You know, so, you know, so basically, yes, you know, anyone seeking the light, which is knowledge of self, know thyself, and you will know God in the universe, you know, or as we, you know, read within, I'm here, know thyself and thy Father God or law. You know, that is what you're seeking in order to master. And so we see on the walls of Egypt, you will see a some type of depiction of Heru on the right and Tahuti on the left. And the individual is in the center is being anointed or baptized by Heru and Tahuti. Heru, in this sense, symbolizes reality, and Tahuti symbolizes wisdom. So it was actually a case of knowledge and wisdom. So hence, the person is gaining understanding. So they have around the person the auric seal who's been initiated, the crocodile fact of Sebek. Sebek was known as the crocodile god or the crocodile nectar deity. And his fat was used for all of the anointed ones, which are known as Nesin. All right? Which is the same word as Messiah. But the word is Nesin. M-E-S-S-E-N. Nesin.
Mm-hmm.
So the word Nesin is another name for Heru. Just like you have the word Heru Mes, which becomes the word Hermes. Hermes transmits justice within the Greek terminology. As well as you also have the holiday, Christmas, which is Koresmas, Koresmas, right? And the word Kores means the mummified body of Osiris, which is also, and Mes, once again, means a child, or born. So what is born forth from the mummified body? Because it's just like a cocoon. A butterfly, in order to morph, a caterpillar has to morph into a butterfly by first going into a cocoon. So you have to go inside your cocoon. The soul symbolizes that principle as it is embedded inside of the pineal gland. And as it awakens, based on the mother principle, which is the Kundalini Shakti, raising up to the Kundalini Shiva in the Sanskrit teachings, it awakens Shiva, or what is known as Krishna. All right, Krishna is the ninth incarnation of Vishnu, right? It's similar to the fish god, and this is the reason why Christians have the symbol fish on the back of their cars to this day.
Right.
And why Jesus, within the Bible, said that he's going to tell Peter and Andrew to cast down your nets, and I'm going to teach you how to become fishermen of men. All of that is symbolic to the age of Pisces, the Piscean age. But upon awakening into Kores, or Krishna consciousness, Christ consciousness, then you go into the age of Heru, which is the Aquarian age. So this is also based on the awakening effect, not just of astrology. You know, astrology gives you, as it says, loosen the keys. It is you who have to walk through the door.
Yes.
But to gain that consciousness. All right? So,
when you're dealing with those, the cycle of time, according to the teachings of India, they call it the yugas. So that's dealing with different stages of consciousness during those different cycles of time, because, you know, during those cycles, the people are in different states of consciousness. You know, according to the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Because, see, a lot of people, it's really debated what cycle we're on, you know, because a lot of people have different, depending on what teacher they was under, they'll say, okay, we're under this Kali Yuga. But according to, you know, the teaching of Paramahansa Yogananda, you know, they were supposed to be, we're supposed to be in, not Kali Yuga, we're coming out of Kali Yuga.
Right, going to Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
Right, we're supposed to be going to Kshatriya, which correlates with us coming from the Olmec Mayan calendar, the December the 21st, 2012, and that's coming from out of that just this past year. All right, so it correlates perfectly with us leaving the Kali Yuga age in the Sanskrit teachings and us coming into the Satya Yuga age.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know,
Yogananda, he believes that we in Dwapara Yuga, you know,
right.
Which is the second age or what we call the age of energy. You know, like I said, this subject is pretty debated upon because, you know, depending on what teacher you under, they have different ways of looking at it. So it's really debated upon, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. And my teacher, Grand Master Sun Yat Sen Swati, who actually was a student of Yogananda at his young age and actually passed the Cobra Breath on to him, in which that, through Babaji, also stated, you know, and taught, you know, and teaches us that we're now going or entering into the Satya Yuga age. So, like you said, it's debatable, but you know that consciousness has changed, and that's the main part of this information, that this consciousness in which everything changed. We know that there's never been a time, at least within the last 500 years of history that we know of information of this magnitude in one source.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and that's the thing, when you're talking about energy, you're talking about information as well, because, you know, because we're talking about consciousness.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Yeah, dealing with different teachers. You have some teachers only deal with strictly with cosmologics. And you know, some of them deal with yogic teachings or any other type of teaching. You know, like I said earlier, it deals with the yoga and cosmology and other sciences to really get a real better understanding of what that actually means and breaking it down, you know. The being age of 12, they start teaching.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I was thinking about, you know, when you were talking about all the butterfly, I was thinking about the rapper Game. Yeah, put a butterfly on his face. And, but, you know, they started laughing at him, so he changed it into, L.A. or something like that, L.A. tattoo. But he knows what time it is because he named his label Black Wall Street. But he was trying to, you know, give a signal, but people wasn't ready for it because, you know, some people are dumbed down. They don't even know what time it is, so.
Right.
You know.
Right. Like,
well, anybody go back and listen to the Game's first album, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he dropped, you know, several clues in it that he is studying.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the record company Black Wall Street. So, I mean, think about it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, even with the Christians, with the fish signs on their cars and whatnot, you know, I imagine very few of them know why they have the fish signs on their cars or whatever. Why the fish? You know, very few know, but do not explain what it means to the masses of the Christians in their churches and their congregations.
Exactly.
They know what it means.
Most of them don't know. That's number one. And then those who do know, know what I'm saying? They are concealing type, and so therefore they can't show. But
no.
That's the reason why they get upset at the malls, because we have to show. We have to show our people because of the detrimental state in which that our people are in.
Right.
There's no possible way out of it. We have to initiate them in some shape, form, or fashion, whether it's through the internet, through music, through TV, through radio, whatever the case is. We have to do it through everything that we possibly can in order to awaken as many people as possible, because that is the job of the Pillars of Light. So that is our job. You know, we call ourselves wolves. We are actually the pillars of light, you know. And in ancient times, the initiation began, you know, say, in between the lion paws of the Heru-Marcut, which is, you know, what we know as the Sphinx, which means the light of the body. That's what Heru-Marcut means. It means light of the body. So the whole point of initiation was igniting and energizing and rejuvenating light body, the light in the body, which is your chakras, your kundalini, what is known as even pingala, your shishuna. You know, all of these things are supposed to light. You're supposed to light up like a Christmas tree. You know, a meridians are activated, your nodes or nadis are activated. In ancient times, when you stood between the paws of the lion, which is the paws of the sphinx, you was asked, you know, three questions. But one of the three questions in particular is one of the ones in which that we still have today, which was what walks on four, then on two, and then on three. You know, and of course the answer is man. First we crawl on four horizontal like a beast. Then we walk on two, you know, as a human, you know what I'm saying? Possibly potentially a god, you know what I'm saying, and flesh. And then as we age, we need a third number, which is our cane, in order to keep us, you know, steady. So, you know, we know that this is part of the ancient mystery school, and everyone got a piece of it. You know, you can go to Manly P. Hall, honorary 33rd degree, in his Freemasonry of the Ancient Egyptians. Mm-hmm. He says, it is now generally acknowledged that the Egyptians of all ancient people were the most learned in the occult sciences of nature. The wisest of philosophers from other nations visited Egypt to be initiated into the sacred mysteries by the priests of Thebes, Memphis, and Hermopolis.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
So yeah.
Now, as you see here, that correlates perfectly to what Prophet Noble Dryly wrote, says the reason that these lessons have not been known because the Muslims of India, Egypt, and Palestine had these secrets and kept them back from the outside world. So we know. All right, that Egypt is the forefront of this information, and it spread it out into India, spread it out into Palestine, spread it out into Europe, spread it throughout. And who did that? The Moors, the custodian. The Moors, known within Stolen Legacy by George D. James, around page, between page 38 and 42, he speaks about the Moors being the custodians of the ancient mystery school. So this is how the Europeans end up getting it 500 years ago, as the Moors was there in Europe, actually from 711 A.D., even though they was already there. Moors actually was already there before them, but this is the general date in which that is given in history,
yeah.
To 1492, the year in which that Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. The Moors gave up the last stronghold of Granada, Spain, to Queen Isabella and King Fernandez, and they left. And the whole thing about Christopher Columbus or Cristobal Colón was to follow them and spy on them and see where they went, because they could not understand why the Moors just gave up without a fight, knowing how Moors was dominating them at that time,
mm-hmm.
and extorting from them, in which that the term blackmail becomes the term in which that is used when somebody is being extorted.
Right.
You know, you blackmail me? You know, but if you go get Ancient and Moderate Britons, Volume 1, Volume 2, and also the Barbary Wars, written, all both of these books, or three of these books, are written by David Matt Ricci. He goes into it. He goes into the books. But in the book, Freemasonry is Hidden Meanings by George Steinmetz, this is what he says. He says, we find a statement, regardless of origin of the Moderate Lodge, or of the name Freemason, we can, after freeing the symbolism of modern adaptation, discern in Freemasonry the outline of the teachings of the ancient mysteries of Egypt. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
No matter how, and these are all 32nd, 33rd degree Masons, and they understand where the information comes from. You know, the problem is that they're saying that the information comes from aliens, you know, extraterrestrials, instead of saying that it comes from actually from you. When you own the world,
yes, it does.
Right,
wow.
You own the walls of junk. Okay?
Yeah, Outkast came out with a movie about, a record about aliens. What was one of the Outkast album about
right,
aliens?
Right, exactly. What was it?
E.T. Aliens or something like that?
Aliens. And they had a track on it called Out of This World Extraterrestrial.
Yeah, and that's when Andre was wearing the turban.
Exactly. Wearing the turban. As a matter of fact, he wore the turban for like almost that whole year.
Yeah.
And concerts and different things and tours and what that he was doing.
Yeah.
You know?
And man, I've seen him on the video. He's like, he was wearing a kilt. They said, yo, man, what you wearing that for? He said, man, I got Scottish in my family. A lot of people, they look at him like, what the hell? What are you talking about? Scottish.
Exactly.
The Moors.
Uh-huh. Exactly. The Moors, it was the Kente cloth, the African Moors Kente cloth that the Scots would call kilts.
Right.
And it was a corrupt name. The kilt was a corrupt name of Kente.
Mm-hmm.
The after war is Kente cloth.
Isn't that something?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, you see Scottish and their traditions and their historical parades, and you see them today over here in America, you know, they're doing, you know, calling themselves going to their heritage. But actually, his roots go back to the African Moorish heritage, you know,
yeah.
To the Kente cloth.
Yeah. The Idi Amin movie, they call him the King of Scotland.
Ain't
as far as when they played it.
Ain't that something?
Yeah, think about
that's
that. It. King of Scotland. His name is Idi Amin.
You know, they never really break that down in the movie.
They never did.
Never did. But why did they call him the King of Scotland? Never did break it down.
Exactly.
Yeah, we talk about the.
When we went to the British Museum, my wife and I, she was around there touching the relics, and the man came up on her and was like, "Man, you can't touch the relics." And my wife was like, "What you mean? It's been so long since I've seen my ancestral relics, my ancestral, you know, history, you know." And about 5 minutes later, he just walked away. About 5 minutes later, he came back and said, "Man, if you want to really see some more of this stuff, you need to go to Scotland."
Mm-hmm.
So he said it. So there's more Egyptian stuff in Scotland than it is even in England.
Yeah. You know.
So we've been all over the planet.
Exactly.
That's what they call us, Moors, connected to the land of the earth.
That's right.
Earth.
Yep, the whole thing. That's right. So we get another book called The African Origin of Freemasonry, written by Zachariah Vermilion. He writes that, this is what he says. He says, Masonry, in general, serves a purpose, if not sufficing the scheme of going to the root of Freemasonry, but uncovering the ancient symbols, relics, and rituals that had their origin in Kush and Kemet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Kush and Kemet. Now, you know, when we get into Kush, if you read Herodotus, who was a so-called Greek historian, he stated that the first colony of Egypt, those who went into Egypt, the so-called Tennessee, were actually a colony from out of Kush.
Yeah.
From out of Ethiopia or Abyssinia.
Yeah. Okay. I was just thinking about that.
Right, right. And, of course, people who want verification, you get the wonderful Ethiopian wonderful Ethiopians of the Kushite Empire by Drusilla from Houston Dungee. You get her book, and she verifies this.
You can read Anthony Broder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Broder, right. His Nile Valley Contribution to Civilization.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Mm-hmm. So, that's what that symbolizes. All right. So, these are the secrets. So, actually, this information which that the Moors are getting actually are secrets in which that is coming forth from the Rosicrucians, coming forth from Masonry, coming from all these so-called secret societies today. And being that we are the guardians of this information originally, as it is spoken of within history, and our symbol is an owl, and this is why the owl is on the dollar bill in the upper right-hand corner of the dollar bill over on the front, but if you flip it over, it's directly behind the pyramid, which is also our great spirit symbol. As a matter of fact, the European older gentleman, he's in the 70s, and he asked me about a month ago, he said, why is that Muslim symbol on our dollar bill?
Uh-huh.
I looked at him and smiled, because he didn't say Egyptian symbol, because some debated that is the Egyptian symbol, because the pyramid, the way in which that it slopes, actually looked like the pyramids from out of Sudan or out of Nubia. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what is that Muslim symbol doing on the back of our dollar bill? I said, well, number one, Morocco was the first nation to recognize the United States.
Mm.
He looked at me and he just smiled. Because he didn't think that I... Because he didn't think that I knew.
Reveal the secret. Like, so he doesn't have to smile, but he can reveal the secret.
Right.
He took a whole two.
Of course he did. Of course he did. You know, of course he had to be a Masonic Shriner, but I didn't even ask him. But the fact that the way that he clued me in was the fact that he said the Muslim symbol.
That's right.
He didn't say Egyptian symbol.
Right, he didn't say Egyptian symbol.
Yeah, I mean, right. You think a pyramid, that would be connected to Kemet or Nubia. So
that's all he was saying. So now I put it out there. Now, what do you want to do with it?
See what you know.
But that goes back to the reasons that the lessons have been not been known is because Muslims, and it says India, Egypt, and Palestine had these secrets. So the Muslims of Egypt had these secrets. So why is this Egyptian, or why this Muslim symbol, I should say, is on the back of our dollar bill.
Hmm.
So, you know, that was one of the things in which that, you know, happened recently. You know, and if anybody do any research, you can do, you know, on the ancient Kemites or Egyptians, they never called their system the mystery system per se. You know, the Greeks, you know what I'm saying, who went to go and study, you know, at the Temple of Waset, which was the world's first university, you know what I'm saying, or recognized as such. Of course, there's nothing new under the sun, but oldest one in which that we can date, you know what I'm saying, you know, became known as the Egyptian mysteries because it was history to them, the Europeans, the Greeks, and not necessarily to the Kemite. It wasn't a secret to the Kemite. It was a schooling system, you know, in which that we went through. Matter of fact, we went through for 40 years. We would start at the age of 4 through 7 and go 40 years within that. So we would graduate around 44 to 47 years old from out of that mystery school, or out of the, or what they call the mystery school, in the Egyptian mysteries. Let's say it like that, you know. Now, what was it that we was taught? Well, we was taught the same thing in which that is taught, you know what I'm saying, in school today, but obviously at a higher level. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Everything is fragmented.
Right.
It's different subjects. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You're right, and that was not the way that we always taught everything holistically.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. we can't excel, or have not excelled as a society to the levels in which that, you know, up to the Egyptians, because we think fragmentedly. We think in terms of separation as compared to in terms of unity, unification.
Yeah.
Now, so the word free means without hindrance. The word mason refers to one who builds, or a bricklayer or a brick mason. Now, as such, Freemasonry is that symbol of the craft or the art of building, not just the physical body, but building spiritually. You know what I'm saying? An edifice within the human being. So the ancient Egyptians referred to the spiritual concept as the temple in man. Now you can get that information from what's his name? Sawalik Lubitz. He wrote the book called Temple in Man. He also wrote the book called Temple of Man. Okay, Sawalik Lubitz. Check him out. So I'm giving references after everything I say, and you can go and do your research. So the Egyptian so-called system, you know, we can say that this is where, you know, the so-called thing became a secret act, was with them, because membership was gained by initiation and a pledge of secrecy. You know, the teacher was graded and delivered orally by the neophyte. Upon these circumstances of secrecy, the Egyptians developed a secret system of writing, teaching. This is where Hebrew came out of. This is where Amharic came out of. This is where Aramaic came out of. This is where Syriac came out of. This is where Arabic came out of. Right? The Egyptians devoted the mysteries of writing and teaching and forbid the initiate from writing what they had learned. It was all done by oral traditions. This is why the same way in which that you go to the Orient, back in the days in the Charlemagne schools and different other schools, most of the teachings was oral. Yes, you might see them read certain passages from out of sacred books and things like that, but a lot of the teachings were oral. Okay? Now, so after 5,000 years of prohibiting, you know, against the Greeks, you know, or the Europeans, they were permitted to enter into Egypt for the purpose of their education. Now, we only gave them 3 degrees of a 9-degree system. And these same 3 degrees become the Freemasonic, what they call Angel Apprentice, Fellow Craftsman, and Master Mason degree. All right?
Uh-huh.
So, no. And of course, that came first through the Persians' invasion, secondly through the invasions of Alexander the so-called Great. And then after Alexander, the royal temples and the libraries was plundered and pillaged. And our scholar school converted the library of Alexandria into, you know, into a research center, you know. And so this is how we get a portion of this information today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we had the whole thing, we would be building like the Egyptians, where you would be able to build with such precision. Measuring the earth and putting the pyramids in the center of the earth. Khufu, Cheops, is in the center of the planet earth. You know, and then building it on pi. Building it with such precision that you got 2,000 to 20,000 ton blocks in position, in alignment, that not even a piece of paper or a razor blade can go through.
Mm-hmm. That kind of precision.
Right, you're talking about precision, right? You're talking about lasers. It was working with lasers. It was working with gravitational weaponry, you know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't say so-called weaponry, but that's what they had. They had gravitational machines.
It could be work tools. Look at it, work tools. You know, when you're dealing with masonry, you're dealing with work tools.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. You know, so they had things in which that are not mentioned today, you know. And the reason why we're going is because we're going to get to a chapter, chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken, where within the Holy Quran, chapter 7, where we deal with these particular tools. Am I right, Brother Olamide?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. With that in chapter 5. So we want everybody to understand these things as we continue reading on how they connect. All right. And for those who don't know, there were 7 Hermetic principles, and Hermetic is Hermes Trismegistus, also known as Tahuti or Heru. When Heru and Tahuti come together, which is when knowledge and wisdom comes together, it becomes Hermes Trismegistus, all right, in which that creates understanding, the 3 principles, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The principles have been taught that they adapt of the ancient Egyptians of the ancient mysteries school of Egypt. Now, the 7 principles are based on occultism and the keys of the phenomena. It says the phenomena is related to the ancient Moabite or Moorish culture or school of philosophy that stands on the principles that the study of nature is done rightly through examining the factual information and derived from measurements and measuring and unbiased statistics. The philosophical tools anciently presented by the Moors for Earth is the measure, which is geometry, or symbols of the compass and the square. Okay? Now, we know that who these 7 symbols or 7 principles is the mind, which is mentalism, which is the all is mind and everything is energy. The universe is mental, or everything in the universe is mental. You have the law of correspondence, which is as above, so below, as within, so without. You have vibration, which means that basically nothing is stationary. Everything vibrates or gives off light or sound. Polarity, everything is double. Everything has its opposite. This is where extremes meet. Rhythm, the all is ebb and flow, demonstrated by action and reaction, advance and recoil. You have cause and effect. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens according to law. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. And you have gender or sex, which manifests as animated or inanimated, masculine or feminine, centrifugal or centripetal force. Okay, so Tahuti's principles is where later on you have Newton expounding on these particular laws. And now they call them the laws of Newton. But these are the laws of Tahuti. E equals MC squared, which I give so much credit to Albert Einstein, that is the law of Tahuti. Energy equals mass plus constant speed of light. In other words, energy can become mass or matter, and matter, mass, can become energy at the speed of light, at 186,000 miles per second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these are the things that we have to realize, and the ancients spoke about it. Like I said, go to Stolen Legacy, you know, George G.M. James. He states in it that during the Persian, Greek, and Roman invasions, large number of Egyptians fled not only to the desert and mountain regions, but to the adjacent lands in Africa, Arabia, and Asia Minor, where they lived and secretly developed the teachings which belonged to their mystery system. Now, this correlates specifically to what we just been saying. The lessons of this pamphlet are not for sale. Continue on, says the reason for these lessons has not been known because the Muslims of Egypt, of India, and Palestine had these secrets and kept them back from the outside world.
Secretly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. During the Persian, Greek, and Roman invasions, large number of Egyptians fled not only to the desert and mountain regions, but also to the adjacent lands where? In Africa, Arabia, Asia Minor, which is where? Europe, which is also where? Palestine. Where they lived, secretly developed religions which belong to their mystery school. And it says, in 8th century AD, the Moors, native of Mauritania in North Africa, invaded Spain and took with them the Egyptian culture which they had preserved. Knowledge in the ancient days was centralized. It belonged to a common parent and system. The wisdom teachings are mysteries of Egypt. Now, this is
so you have to be initiated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You have to be initiated into this still.
Right.
Exactly.
So this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about when he said, when he's talking about how, you know, Muhammad, you know, taught the Europeans and they had to study from 35 to 50 years.
Right.
He was dealing with Moors, initiated the Europeans into Moor science, or what we would call Freemasonry.
Yes,
right.
We call Freemasonry. Yes, that what he was talking about. The he wrote a book called the what was it called? The Time
Freemasonry.
No, it was oh boy, it was something of time.
Theology of Time.
Yeah, theology. There you go, Moore. Come on, Moore. Come on with it. Theology of Time, and what he was talking about, the ages of the zodiac cycle. And
right.
I don't know why he didn't really break it down to the nation. Why they didn't do that? Why they don't do that even to this day? But that's exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah. We talking about time. Notice he said theology of time.
Theology of time. Theology.
It's no coincidence that the word Osir, which is Osiris, means time in the Metanetal language. So Osir means time. It's no coincidence Moses was speaking to. He said, "Whom shall I say sent me, Lord?" And it said, "Ia." Asher, Ia. Asher is the word Asur. The God in which that Moses spoke to was Asur, which is hence your higher self.
Well, they still know how to conceal stuff, don't they? Man,
yeah.
If you don't know,
but
you go over your head.
Theology of time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a theology of time. The best word
of God.
The best word to define that definition would be astrology or astrology.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're calculating time. Yeah. Because just like we was going over that degree about, you know, the Holy Quran, the Bible, renews itself every 25,000 years. He was dropping it in there, and like he said, named the book, which was really a teaching series, which they compiled into a book, because he really didn't write any books. He taught, and they compiled a lot of this stuff into book form.
Exactly.
You know, theology of time. I mean, he was talking about astrology.
Yeah.
And that particular lesson was dealing with that time, the 25,000 years, which Brother Aleem was talking about in the beginning of this lesson.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, they never deal with the Piscean Age or the coming of the Aquarian Age at that time. They never really talked about it. No cosmology at all, you know.
Right. But see, the thing is that they actually did, in a sense, because they
told us.
Whether it's the Moorish Science Temple of America, Moorish Holy Temple of Science, or what's called the Moorish National Divine Movement, or whether it's the Nation of Islam, or whether it's the Nation of Gods and Earths, the formerly five percenters, they all say Jesus symbolizes what principle? Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They all say it. All right. So they never really told you that Jesus was a man. They alluded to the stories in which that is in the book to give that up, you know, for those who are surface dwellers, that illusion that Jesus is a man. So therefore, go and search for a man or wait for a man to come out of the sky. And for those who do so and never read it any further, then of course that's what you're still doing.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Just like any Christian, Muslim, or Jew, you know what I'm saying? Waiting for the second coming. As the Jew is for the first coming. You know, they wait for the first coming. Christians and Muslims wait for the second coming. You know,
that's
so regardless of which coming you're waiting for, The point is that the three main so-called Afrocentric movements, national movements, in the last 100 years, all define Jesus as being justice, not being a man, but being a principle, being a concept. All right? So they told us the truth. But we are still looking for something to come out the sky. But yet all of them tell you that Allah is in man. You know, you are the father of the universe. You are God. You know, so all three of them teach us that, whether it's the, you know, Allah and man, that's taught in the Moral Science Temple of America. You know, Allah and personage, you know, not just within Master Prophet Muhammad, but it says that we are the father of the universe. Right there in the beginning, who's the black man?
Yeah, Asiatic black man, the maker of the owner, queen of planet Earth.
Right.
The God of the universe.
Man.
Right. Yeah.
Right. God of the universe. So
that was a student in Rome, and that was the first, that was the initiation, because the student Roman, that's who got initiated into the lesson. That's
what
that's the first degree.
You had to know it, word by word. You had to know it.
Exactly.
Your
so
ears
the
had to be
man,
your ears, everything.
That's why I still know it.
The cream of planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe.
You said that.
They told you in the initiation portion, exactly, that you are the God of the universe. So that is Allah and man. So both systems taught you the same thing. And then, of course, when you get to the nation, gods, and earth, you know, they have the same lesson. Some don't add in father of the father of civilization, some do add in father of civilization. But it's right there within the, you know. So they all say the same thing. And it all points to us being the gods or the goddesses, you know, or the netter rules, as we would say.
Or divinity.
Divinity. Mm-hmm. That's where it points to us at.
Yeah, the
prophet.
The prophet said in the Holy Quran, when it says we must live a theistic life, it's there, but you just got to know what it's talking about. Deific or deify, talking about God.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. But hold on, we're going to go to the phone lines for those that want to call in, got questions,
626-414-3535.
That's 626-414-3535. Call in. We're going to go to a commercial right quick. This is you, Patola Bala.
What I say every day, the sun set just like clockwork. To put the Glock to work and put nobody to stand still, man, it kills me. Taking a life is like taking a shit. Hit or miss, niggas are playing guard, trying to rob and steal. That's why you gotta guard your grill like a barbecue, cause them harming you was just like honeybees swarming you. Vocally arming you with my responsibility, it's killing me. Bigger than all these niggas, see they fly. Taking their Steven Seagal and falling. Falling to the wayside when you try to call. I fall when we was little nappy headed niggas in the project, but now they carjack. Wait on income tax and unsafe sex. Still yet they tend to flex like solo for the Lolo. Smoke same thing. No, not this time. Niggas around my way can rhyme. So fuck that country shit. We done a bunch of shit. And yes, you heard of this. Out of this world like E.T. coming across your TV. Extraterrestrial. Straight from ATL. You know what I'm saying?
Are you here? Out of this world. Are you here, out of this world? Are you here, out of this world?
Right now, I'm smiling, taking advantage of this moment, cause there might not be another soon. holding on to memories like roller coaster handlebars tightly, cause I'm slightly off my rocker. But to you, I may appear to be your average Joe, but little do you know that even Joe got problems that he got two jobs with. Floating in this game of life, despite how out of place you may feel in this race, or you just can't quit. Ain't that a bitch that be in heat? I'm on the beat like cops. Only cultivate the stable dirt when I keep my drops. Don't concentrate in knocking other niggas out the box. Why? Cause in a sense, see, we all be kinda fly. Just can't be scared to spread your wings. Head to better things. Maybe the mockingbird and nightingale, they want to sing. Keeping this thing alive to the table's what we bring. We like hailstorms and blizzards in the middle of the spring. Extraterrestrial. Out of this world. Bang.
All right, we back. First World Order Radio. My co-hosts are Brother Olabala and Brother R.L. Grand Sheik. I'm glad that y'all got a chance to be with me this weekend. Us going into this information tonight, you know, and I'm going to go to the phone lines here and see if anybody want to do some speaking, ask some questions.
Okay.
Let me go to 910. You're on the line.
Peace, King, man. It's Khufu. How you doing, brother?
Peace, brother. How are you?
Peace. Peace, more.
Doing great, man. I like the presentation, the demonstration. I want to ask you, what's the other science on the science of the crucifixion of Jesus? You know, based on, you know, like from, you know, the literal or, you know, the literature and how they, you know, they're trying to say that, you know, they had to sacrifice, you know, Jesus for the sins of Adam. And then, you know, they started going into this penal substitution stuff. Like, is there like some other type of symbology behind that based on your information?
Yeah, based on my information, you go back to Jeremiah, ancient Egypt, life, the world, Jesus actually is a symbol of Shu. And Shu is the breath of life or the personification of air. So Jesus actually symbolizes what holds your physical body or composition together, which is centrifugal and centripetal force, which is the inhalation and exhalation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why Jesus is called within the book of John, the word made flesh, because the word, which is symbolic to sound, you know, symbolic to, I guess, see the vibratory rate, you know, of sound, which I think what sound within the lessons, 1,120 feet per second sound travels. So, based on that, it symbolizes the way in which that sound, in its magnetic force with the insulation and exhalation, holds the physical body together. So, in that sense, Jesus symbolizes that. Also, Jesus symbolizes, when you read about this so-called crucifixion, you'll see that Jesus died at the age of 33. So that is symbolic to the 33 vertebrae actually in your spinal column that makes up your spinal column. In the Old Testament, it's known as Jacob's ladder, or the ladder of Jacob, in which that he said he's seen the angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. That's in around Genesis, the 32nd chapter or so. So, in the New Testament, Jesus dying at the age of 33 and him giving up the ghost symbolizes the Kundalini, or that energy raising up through the 33 vertebrae. And then giving up the ghost means you become etherealized and to awaken the pineal gland, you know, in which that's where the soul is embedded at, inside of the pineal gland, and it activates more of the right hemisphere of the brain. So when it speaks about Jesus saying he had to go and ascend to his Father who art in heaven and sit on the right-hand side, that is talking about the activation of the brain. The fact that he was killed, as they say, or died on Mount Golgotha, which is Mount Calvary as it's being transliterated. The word Golgotha means skull within Hebrew,
yes,
in Aramaic. Now, the fact that it means the place of the skull is telling you exactly where the crucifixion took place at or takes place at. It's in the skull area, in your head. All right? Now, there's no coincidence that Jesus had two malefactors or thieves on the side of him, one on the left, one on the right. The one on the left said, if you be, it's what you get yourself down from here. The one on the right said, why don't you stop messing with this man? He's going through the same thing we're going through. You know, matter of fact, you know, I believe, you know, when you get into paradise, you know, remember me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you have one on the left say something negative, one on the right say something positive. Those two nerves in which that travels up in a crisscross pattern along the 33 vertebrates, and they connect, you know what I'm saying, at the nostrils, from the root chakra, which is at the base, which is at the of the spine, and all the way to the nostrils. They connect. They crisscross each other at the connecting point, in which that produces what is called our nerve nexus of nerves. They are next. They are like a bundle of nerves at each point of them crisscrossing, in which that produces our endocrine gland system along the spine. These particular glands, of course, is your pineal gland, pituitary gland, thyroid gland, parathyroid gland, thymus gland, adrenal glands, spleen, pancreas, within the woman, the uterus and ovaries, within the man, the testes and the prostate. So these nerves extend out, you know what I'm saying, to these particular endocrine glands and organs in our body in order to produce hormonal balance. So the fact is that when you read these certain scriptures, they're always encoded. The symbolism is always encoded, you know, with the age, like we broke down earlier about Jesus being the age of 12. He had to go be about his father's business. Jesus happened to have 12 disciples later on. Of course, the Son has 12 disciples, known as the 12 zodiac signs. These 12 zodiac signs, the Son travels through every 25,000 years or so, called a Holy Quran within the lessons. You know, so all of this correlates, you know, and so as we continue to see these patterns, we see these keys revealed more and more. Within the Holy Quran, they say that Jesus was not crucified. It made the there was one who was replaced and was made to look as if he was. And many say that the person who replaced Jesus was Judas. Judas actually died in this place based on some people's interpretation of the Holy Quran information coming from that particular, I think it's the third or either the fourth surah.
In the Gospel of Barnabas.
Right, and also in the Gospel of Barnabas. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is talking about.
Yeah.
But Judas symbolizes, just like Jesus, both symbolizes the flesh. It's the Christ in which that symbolizes the spirit. So you might kill Jesus, but you never can kill the Christ. This is why they, you had the early Christians known as the Gnostics. They did not believe that Jesus was crucified. They never had no teaching of that. You know what I'm saying? Because Christ cannot be killed. Christ is God. Christ is immortal, everlasting, eternal, forever. That is the law.
Exactly.
You know? So you can't kill Christ. You know, so, you know, that's the Christian concept, that they're looking at a physical body and they're looking at a cross. The cross symbolizes the physical body. So they're looking at that symbol as, you know, as being the ultimate for their sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? When... You know, you can't kill God, you can't kill Christ, you can't kill Melchizedek, you can't kill Michael. All of these are just simply various names of the same entity, which is nothing more than your higher self. You can't kill your higher self. Your higher self is Allah and man. Matter of fact, the lesson tells us right here within the 101, we go to it, it says, what is the devil sometimes called? The lower self. How many selves are there? Two. Name them. higher self, lower self. What people represents the higher self? The angels who protect the holy city of Mecca. What people represents the lower self? Those who was cast out the holy city and those who accepted their teachings. What is the higher self? The higher self is the mother of virtues, the harmony of life, and brings justice, mercy, love, and rights. Can the higher self pass away? No. Why? Because it is a law in man. So,
yeah.
A law can't be killed. Christ can't be killed. So, this is the reason why the Gnostics disagreed with the later Christians and their philosophy and their interpretation, is because they focused on the physical body, which is the materialism, and say on the materialistic or the plane of matter. You know, they focus more on that than they did of the spirit. And everyone knows that the ancient Egyptians, the Gnostics, the therapeutics, you know, the Essenes, all of them focus on the spiritual aspect. They did not focus on just the fleshly aspect.
So what you think? What do you think they're trying to accomplish by replaying history? Because you know, like they over in Syria and Turkey, and you know, it's like that's the same place. You know, the Battle of Megiddo. Like you know, and you know, they're trying to put the Armageddon in the Bible. Are they really trying to reinsert themselves back into the Matrix, or into play out these past events, or is this really like you know? Because I know the Battle of I don't know if it was Ramses the second, the Battle of Kadesh. It was like you know, it was taking place, you know, as above, so below, like up or you know, in the heavens also.
Mm-hmm.
What are they really trying to do by replaying these events?
It's all related. Battle of Megiddo, Armageddon,
go ahead, brother.
And the high and the lower self. It's about us having our higher self overcoming our lower selves, the spiritual over the material. That is the real battle of Armageddon. The real battle of Armageddon. They are phenomena. The battle of you say the Battle of Armageddon, and what they're trying to do, and they are, as Dr. Aline said, they are trying to implant it back into the Matrix, which is the real prison of the world.
Right, and it's real simple. What they're trying to do by doing all these reenactments is trying to place themselves in history. That's what the If you notice, that's what the Europeans have been doing for the last 6,000 years. Actually, since they've been out the caves, they was in the caves for 2,000. So for the last 4,000 years specifically, that's what they've been doing, is trying to reinsert themselves into our psyche so that they can survive. And the whole thing is based on the fact of they only had a 6,000-year cycle of survival. This is why now the birth rate is down to 1.3 in the majority of the countries around the world. That means for every child that's born, one dies. That means they're not repopulating themselves. That means by 2045, based on all statistics, there will be no European race. So they are trying their best to continue perpetuating this mythology and placing themselves in our psyche. But this is why we decode them as, so that there is no place they can go.
That's why you see so many interracial relationships, which is strongly on television and the movies, TV commercials and stuff like that. That things they usually didn't do, to have a European or Asiatic woman. European male or Asiatic woman or Asiatic man or a European, Asiatic man and a European woman, and an Asiatic woman with a European man. They show them all the time in your television programs and things like that, because they're trying to blend in. They're calling themselves trying to blend in, but it's not going to work because our genes are more and more powerful than theirs. And they're still wiping themselves out.
Okay, that's what's up. Because I had read an article, and they were saying that, you know, they were talking about the Mayans and how they was doing child sacrifices to try to get, you know, to try to tame nature, because nature was getting into this destructive pattern. And it was kind of like the article was saying, why aren't the South Americans, you know, getting back into that to get, you know, to try to tame nature? It was kind of like they were saying that that's what they should be doing. So based on what you just said, I think what Aline was saying about, you know, when they, well, whatever, we're going reinserting themselves back and replaying these events. If they line it up right and trying to, you know, put themselves back in, you know, in the past, what does that mean for us? Is that, does that mean that they're going to try to, you know, try to, you know, put, do the sacrifice on us? Because they've been sacrificing us. We, the ritual has been on us for a minute. And I know they doing a heavy research on this melanin, and it's like melanin is really becoming like gold to them. It's like that's, you know,
they are injecting themselves with melanin with the hopes of becoming us.
Exactly.
And then by becoming us, they can eliminate us in the process. This is what the whole eugenics program is about. The whole population control agenda is about, is eliminating and is genocide of us. So, but yeah, they want to become us before they do that. All right? So this is why, right, so this is the whole thing. They want to become us and survive, you know what I'm saying, so they can be the so-called, you know, so they can buy into our history, you know, into our mythologies, into our psychology, in our philosophy. They want to come into all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But this is the reason why the rebuilding comes up, and the reason why we break out and destroy, you know what I'm saying, their mythologies and their histories and their whole thing with them, because we know where it comes from and why and what they're actually trying to do. And they're trying to do nothing more than, like I said, is to become us. This
right,
is what the whole thing about Frances Quest Wilson in her book, The ISIS Paper, she said that whites fear genetic annihilation.
Right, because
you know,
they're destroying themselves at the same time.
That's the reason for white supremacy, that they, you know, that's what that whole white supremacy thing is about, is that they fear genetic annihilation. So in order to stop the fear, they have to tap into the genetics. So hence, to become us, learn the science of melanin, how to put melanin into, in other words, how to put a soul into a soulless body.
Yeah, genetically modified foods is making them get the women get behinds now.
Yeah,
exactly.
You've noticed.
Making us get obese, making us get obese, but filling out their women's shape.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. So you got the coffin text, right?
Yes.
And they, you know, I know in the coffin text they talk about how Atum was going to destroy Set. I know, like, based on the mythology, they're saying that Set will become equal with Heru, and then Set would try one last trick after, you know, Atum judge him. It's like, okay, y'all cool, y'all equal. But then Set tries one last trick, and then Atum just destroys him. And we know that I think what it was, Tahuti said, or Imhotep, one of them, Maat will be established in the West. And we see how the West is getting destroyed. It's like, they on fire out there in the West, like, you know, the setting sun. So what's your take on that?
Basically what you said is that you go to Malachi, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse, it says the Son of Righteousness will come healing, with healing in his wings. But it also said that a day will come in which that will burn like an oven, in which that will not leave a branch nor roots. You know what I'm saying? For those who do wickedly. You know what I'm saying? In other words, their genetics would not even survive based on their wickedness. And that is talking about the European. You know what I'm saying? That is talking, and I'm talking about those in which that is the 60 to the 80% of those in which they have calcified pineal glands based on the teachings of Richard King, in which that Dr. Richard King, he stated within his African Origin of Biological Psychiatry that 5 to 15% Africans have calcified pineal glands. 20 to 35% Asians have calcified pineal glands, but 60 to 80% Europeans have calcified pineal glands. So those who have these calcified pineal glands, and the majority of those are the Europeans, you know what I'm saying, this is where the destruction on the planet is actually having to stem from. It's basically for them.
Wow, that's deep, man. Because I know they saying that one of them die every hour from skin cancer, and they said 80,000 Europeans gonna get it this year, or just in America alone. But they said the European men are getting it at a higher rate than women. So, you know, I guess that autumn is really putting in work.
Exactly. Matter of fact, I mean, if you go back to the to around 1997, 98, you would see that 35,000 Europeans died from just the sun alone in Europe. That was in France, Germany, Spain, Portugal, the Netherlands. That was throughout that whole region. Over 35,000 Europeans died. Matter of fact, there's over 5,000 that have just died within the last month.
That's what's good, brother, man. I appreciate it, man. And, you know, try to get a donation to y'all brothers when I can, man, because, you know, I usually download and listen, man. But I appreciate everything, man. I got nothing but love for y'all brothers.
Appreciate you more.
Peace.
You got area code 704.
You're on the air. Peace to the gods, man. I want to ask y'all a question. I've been doing some research on, like, South America. You familiar with Pumapuku and all that stuff they got going on down there? I want you to build on that a little bit and tell me the history on all that.
Well, actually, you're talking about the history of Kwazikoto.
Kwazikoto, all of that.
Right. The whole science is that's the Christ here in the West. That is the same Christ information.
Right,
Kukulkan, Gutamas, they're all known as the plume serpents. It's talking about the Kundalini energy ascending and then developing feathers. You know what I'm saying? Those feathers symbolizes justice, which symbolizes Maya. Maya symbolizes the principle of justice, as well as also Shu in ancient Egypt wore feather. So it symbolizes how the breath interacts with the activation of the Kundalini, which that resurrects and causes those feathers, which is just like on the Caduceus or the Uranus, you will see the two snakes coming up in a crisscross pattern along the pole, which is your spinal column, and those two snakes are your those two snakes are symbolic of the Ida and the Pingala, which are your sacral nerves. And they come up.
Okay, so that's just like that. That's the same symbol as like the medical symbol, right?
That's the medical symbol. That's what Kwazikoto symbolizes. Kukulkan symbolizes. That's what Gautama's symbolizes. They all symbolize that medical symbol, which is the symbol of Imhotep. Showing that the ancient Egyptians during the Third Dynasty came over here. People want to talk about the 15th Dynasty, during the 18th Dynasty. Yes, it was Khus, people who came over during that time, but it was also Imhotep, who was the father of medicine in Egypt, who also came over here thousands of years before.
So how Akhenaten play into that, though?
Akhenaten reformed and brought back the teaching of Imhotep.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It was the teaching of Imhotep, which is actually the, if you talk about any Jesus in which it actually did live, then that was Imhotep. Imhotep was a healer during his time. He healed the deaf, dumb, and blind. He was also a builder, a carpenter, a brick mason. He also built the Temple of Ziggurat, or the Pyramid of Ziggurat, which is the seven-step pyramid. You know, so everything was that they tell you about Jesus, this man was in the Third Dynasty, and he was a prime vital, which is equal to the seat now to the Pope.
Okay.
You know, so Imhotep also named now within the Greek is called Officius. And if you study Officius is known as the serpent holder, which means the same thing, because the symbol in which that Imhotep carried was the caduceus, or the uranus, as it is called, which is that medical symbol which is on the hospitals throughout the country and throughout the world. So that's what.
Okay, so where did the Greeks get Orion from? Who he represent?
Orion means Uranus, which actually talking about
okay.
heaven. You know, so Orion is talking about, now when you look up in the sky, if you look beyond the three stars, which is called, and the three stars actually are symbolic to 10,500 BC, which is actually 12,500 years ago, is where the Giza Plateau, those three pyramids on the Giza Plateau, was formed off of those three pyramids. But if you look behind those three of Orion, you would see a nebula, which means a place in which that gives birth to stars. So Orion became known as the place of stars or the birth of stars.
Right,
so
okay.
So that's what happened, because before you came into this earthly existence, you was first produced in the nebula of Orion as one of the stars.
Right, so that's the center of our galaxy, basically, the Crab Nebula.
Well, that would be somewhat of that, right. All of that is connected with the Pleiades and Sirius. All of that plays, also a Taurus. All of that plays into that whole connection of these other places in which that we once, based on the Amazulu information coming from Peter Mutua and the Zulu nations from the, South Africa, as well as also the
right.
Dogon teaching, we existed prior to coming to Earth. You know, prior, you know, on Earth, we existed on other constellations
and other things. So that's why I'm trying to put it together, because I've been doing a lot of research on it, but it's like, it seemed like everything, all our monuments is, you know what I'm saying, it's like basically what they say, as above, so below. So, but I was looking at it, it's like, damn, they, it's like, that's where they got their information from, to start up the computer. Well, we invented the computers, but it's like the grids. It's like a computer chip, how we designed our temples and the land and all that. It's just crazy. I want you to build on it, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, when we just look at the temple is the temple of man. You have the outer gate, which is called the porch. You have the holy place, and then you have the holy of holies. If you go into the Bible, that was known as the Mosaic Temple. This is the temples in which that was structured after Moses. All right, but when you go into the information, you know, basic man represents the genitals. In the temple, or the Mosaic Temple, this section was known as the outer gate. It is here that man gets fooled into believing that he is merely a human flesh or carnal being, utilizing his lust, his greed for temporary satisfaction. You know, but in the holy place, which is symbolic to love, it is there, through this medium, you know what I'm saying, that we decide, you know, in so many words, you know, how we want to live our life, the decisions in which that we make, you know what I'm saying, and also the wise choices, you know. So that's dealing with the holy place, which is symbolic to love. Then you have the holy of holies, which is symbolic to the mind. The brain, you know, which is called
okay.
the kingdom, or, you know, the dome piece, as they refer to it as. And it's there in which that, you know, you reach your God, you know what I'm saying, within you. You know, it says by what? I think the Bible says, Romans, the 12th chapter, the 2nd verse says, by renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is good and accepted and perfect, which is the will of God. It was by you renewing your mind. In other words, by, just like you said, by getting your information, by getting your knowledge, by getting your wisdom, you are renewing your mind on a daily basis. So you are
right.
you coming in contact with, you know, with your, you know, with your Allah and man, you know, with your God, you know, saying, which is your Lord and personal Savior, which is actually you yourself. You're not your physical body. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You are your soul. You are the soul, and your soul happens to have a physical body.
Right.
That's like the mind of God or the Christ mind.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to ask y'all another question. What is up with these this stuff? I was reading on it, the Vermanas and all this other stuff, and the wars, the so-called wars we had, and how they found, like, people, like, that was in, like, I guess it's Iraq and other places, that is like, it was like we was having nuclear wars. Who was we fighting?
All right, you come out from Zachariah Sitchin's information. In his book,
Now, see, it ain't really Zacharias, because I done really kind of debunked. I done seen he done kind of broke these tablets down and done threw his stuff in there. I done been through all his stuff. Is like, but I take a little bit from here and there and try to piece it together with what you telling me and everything and try to kind of put it all together in our signs. You know how they going to throw their stuff out there. I ain't got time for Zacharias stitching already. Know the lies he's trying to put on top of stuff.
Right, but well, but he does speak about it in his book, The Wars of God and Men, in which that there was nuclear wars. Matter of fact, the Dead Sea came about based on it. If you go and test today, the Dead Sea, you know what I'm saying, and you test, do any carbon testing on it, you will see that it has a high amount of radiation, and that's the reason why it's so salty, because salt absorbs radiation.
So right, okay.
Right, that's why there's nothing living in the Dead Sea, because it's too damn salty, you know what I'm saying? Because it had to absorb the radiation in that particular area from the bombing, you know what I'm saying, as we can say, whether it's a hydrogen bomb or atomic bomb, whatever that you want to call it. That did take place based on the Sanskrit teaching, based on the Vedic text on the Bhagavad. It states in there, in the Bhagavad, that these wars did take place. So you are absolutely correct, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Who was we fighting, though? That's what I'm saying, because they saying we was, you know what I'm saying, the Olmecs was, we basically supposed to won the war, and we was the Superman. I, you know what I'm saying, I just be getting all this information, but I be wanting, like, sometimes when I call y'all, it don't come to my mind. I really want to ask y'all, because it's just, this information just be taking me everywhere, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we was fighting in some senses. If you look at the history, we was fighting different tribes with different nations. You know what I'm saying? But they all was here on Earth. They was all here on planet Earth. Matter of fact, if you read in the Bhagavad, we had ships called the Mahana, the Bahama.
Is that like the Vimana?
Right, the Vimana, right. We had the Vimanas, which were the actual ships. We had spacecrafts. We had
right. See that, and that's what Hitler and all these people getting. They finding our old. They going through these books that you're talking about, deciphering this information and putting together all this stuff that they trying to say is aliens and all that. But it's our information that we put up, and they grabbing it and trying to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the helicopter.
Build it all up.
The
swastika
exactly.
On it. Yes.
Right. That's what they said, the swastika. That was ours. They took it and made it bad.
Right. The swastika, which actually was called the swastika, which is the one in which that was actually turned in the opposite direction, which symbolizes the four elements. Earth, air, water, and fire, also represented
four
directions, north, south, east, and west. You know, every culture wore that symbol, whether it's the Buddhist, whether it's the Native American, whether it's the African, you can see that symbol in all of our cultures. Mm-hmm. All right? You go to Mexico, you can see that symbol amongst the Mayans. You can see that symbol amongst the Incas, the Aztecs, the Toltecs. Okay? So we know that that symbol of what they call the swastika in its reverse, the swastika actually was our symbol, like you said. But let's get to, there's another question that you just asked, too. All right? Now, say that question again.
Which one? What was it pertaining to?
The Olmec, the Olmec question?
Right. Let's get to the Olmec question. Because
they were saying we was the, from what I was hearing on Zacharias stitching, is it was like a little bit that I took out of there. But you had already recanted it probably like a couple of shows ago that we was basically, before we came to this earth, we was star jumpers. We was at Mars. We did our thing there. We came here and set it up.
Right.
But it was like different tribes of us. And it was like the Olmecs was like the Superman. You know what I'm saying? We was the most powerfulest out of the group.
Right. Right. Well, the reason why the Olmecs actually were descended of the Dogon from out of Mali.
Right,
who were
okay.
The ancient who built the pyramids and the temples in Egypt along with the Twa people who are the Pygmies, so-called Pygmies. So the Olmec has all of that information at the Ancient Mystery School of Egypt. That's how they were able to come here to the Americas and build the pyramids here, as well as also the mound. And, of course, you have the Native Americans who descend from them, the Washita, the Tonica, the Lenape, the Ben-Ishmaelites, you know, the Tuscarora, the Cherokee, the Chickasaw, the Creek, the Muscogee. You know, all of us come from that particular, from the Olmecs, you know. So we are the Olmecians. So, yes, we did overpower. This is the reason why the European and the secret society, they was taught not to ever let the Moors rule again. Always hold the Moors
right.
down. So this is why they are, because we were such we were of such an advanced level that if we ever got back to being ourselves, they would not be.
No.
But see, regardless, they're not going to be anyway, based on the fact of nature. Nature itself do not want them here. And we understood that. It's why we were so masterful in the secrets of cosmology. We
That's why they're so constantly at war with nature.
Right. See, they plan is to mess up Earth, thinking we gonna die with it, and they gonna go off into their little machines like these little movies they creating, Elysium and all these little movies that they trying to bring out. Now that's their plan, to mess up Earth. Think we going to get left here, and it's going to be messed up for us, and they going to sell off in their little spaceships.
You're right. Partially, you're absolutely correct. You know, but see, they don't know that. We don't need a spaceship. We can transform our bodies into ships.
Yeah, and that's
right.
Yeah,
see, that's what they were saying when I was reading the thing. That was exactly what you were saying, the orbs of us, and it was like how they were saying some tribes and these other tribes are saying some of us had left and we would come back, and it was exactly how you described it, where we get our kundalinis up and we build our energy up where we can project ourselves wherever we wanted to, and now it is all kind of making sense. It's like I'm listening to these crackers, but I'm trying to put everything you're telling me in the perspective, and everything is coming together now. It's like, you know what I'm saying? You know, they trying to get us caught up in some spooky aliens and all that. Like, man, go ahead. Get out of here with all that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If we the aliens.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Girl.
Yeah.
We're the aliens.
Exactly. We just finished playing.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're the extraterrestrials. You know,
yeah, it's
like
been good talking to y'all, man. I'm going to continue listening to other show. I'm going to let some other callers get in, man, because I can get y'all talking for days, man. I got so many questions. You know what I'm saying?
That's all right, boy.
That's good.
Peace to the gods, man. All
right, peace to you, man.
Peace, all right.
All right, we're going to go to area code 818. Area code 818, you on the line.
Peace, brother.
Peace, God.
Greetings.
Got it.
How's everyone this evening?
Well, very well.
Great.
How are you?
How are you, Otto?
I'm good. I wanted to touch on another aspect of what you were talking about tonight. And I guess it was taken from the lessons that you read in the beginning. And the key word here was humanity. The key word was humanity. It was saying that these lessons were for the sake of humanity. And it was my understanding that humanity is she.
Right.
Right.
Okay. And then on the cover, they showed the woman. So
that's
I wanted you to expound on that about the science of number 9. And I'm not gonna do a lot of talking. I'm going to throw this out there because I have a couple of notes so you can grasp what I'm saying. Like I said, keywords for humanity, science of number 9, restoration.
Right.
You know, I wanted to link all together as far as just, you know, practical side, not just historical, but practical applications too.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
I kind of stuffed it all in.
Right. On the cover of the 101, you know, you have Prophet Noble Dr. Ali holding a woman in his arms, and her body is humanity. You know, it's written humanity. So, yes, humanity is she. you know, because she's the bringer of life. You know, she's the epitome, and she is the, actually the incarnation, in a sense, of the Kundalini, and the Kundalini incarnates within her. So actually, in a sense, they're actually one and the same principle, you know, which is the feminine principle. So if she dies, humanity on a whole dies.
Go with.
If she's not lifted up, then humanity on a whole dies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Can
we are done deal.
Right. Or humanity cannot resurrect men. The whole thing is about uplifting fallen humanity. So if you do not uplift the woman, and that's what this is symbolic to, humanity being uplifted by Prophet Nabi Ali, if you do not uplift fallen humanity, then we would not be able to make the transition, you know. So as you see in the back, you see the C, you know, which says the cares of the world, which, of course, you know, in the black, you know, areas in the background symbolizes the emotions, the negative emotions in particular. Those are the lower nature, lust, greed, jealousy, and envy, and hatred. You know, then you see Prophet Nabi Ali's foot. His left foot is in the water, symbolic to mastering of the admiralty of maritime law. And then his right foot is on the land, which has salvation, which
uh-huh.
means to tie yourself back to the land, which symbolizes you coming back into your nationality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you knowing that you are more, and the word more, if you look in the Black Law Dictionary's fourth edition, land is synonymous with the word more. Matter of fact, the word more is embedded inside of the definition of land.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how you that's how you bring back some type of salvation, you know, say earthly salvation, that is, as far as you understanding the mechanisms of which took place, the so-called mental illness, the slavery, you know what I'm saying, the mental slavery in which that took place, you know, us mastering these particular laws or principles, which is dealing with constitution, dealing with land law, which is dealing with allodial title, dealing with land patents, land grants, that is going to help us, you know what I'm saying, with the land, with the water, us becoming navigators of the seven seas. The Moors was known to be the greatest navigators of the seas. Matter of fact, if you get the Barbary Wars by MacRitchie, we even used to extort money from the Europeans to even travel on the seven seas. Every time we see them, all right, give up the money. So, you know, we was the masters of the seven seas. So this is what Prophet Nabi Ali is showing you with his left and right foot. One being in water, one being on land. And of course, as the Egyptians would say, we know that the right foot, you know what I'm saying, the left foot trample down evil so that the left, so the right foot can go forward in truth.
Yeah.
So as you see, the trampling down of evil, which was the cares of the world, has already took place, which was symbolic in the water. And now the right foot is going forward in truth towards salvation. And then, of course, you have the sun, I mean, the moon and the crescent moon and the star, in which that is shining bright from the left side of Prophet Nabi Ali, upon his fez, upon his face and his whole body and upon humanity. You know, of course, we know the crescent star, once again, symbolizes the mother, the crescent moon, because of the shape of the belly, you know what I'm saying, of the woman, it symbolizes that crescent moon. And then the star being embedded inside of the womb, symbolic to the child, all right? The rays, being that the moon has no light of its own, symbolizes actually the rays of the sun. So actually it's the sun, moon, and star, which is all three, which is father, mother, and child, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is symbolic.
Yeah, exactly.
But that is all down to. So, brother.
Well, how would you relate that to, the teaching of Abu Abdul Muhammad, where they said that 25% of the work was with the man and 75% is with the woman. What's a deeper intake on that?
Right.
His first teacher.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. First child in the womb. Matter of fact, based on Islam and based on even Orthodox Islam, the woman teaches the child for the first 7 years, and then the child comes to know the father after the first 7 years. But the woman,
I didn't get that. Wait a minute, hold on, back. Hold on. I didn't get that part. I got lost right in there somewhere. I said, you know, I said 25% is with the man and 75% is with the woman.
Right.
Yeah, she's the first teacher.
Exactly.
Right. I'm lost. You're saying the first what? Explain this one. What are you saying?
She's the first teacher.
We came from y'all.
Oh, okay. So you're saying most of the work is with us because the children come out the womb.
So you are
more like the support system. 25% of support, but a lot of the work. Okay.
Yeah.
Matriarchal.
Our society is a matriarchal. You ever watch the Cosby Show? The mother was the one running things. Bill wasn't running nothing. He would just enforce what the mother said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we enforce what you say. Did you hear what your mother just said?
Mm-hmm.
What are we really doing? Enforcing. Did you listen? Do you hear what your mother just said?
Right.
No. Okay. So we're more of the spirits of the 75%, and then the manifestation part is in the 25%. In a way.
You ever notice in most families, when I was coming up anyway, it take about 5 times for a mother to tell their children to do something. Their mother took one. I mean, his father took one time to tell him something. After that, there used to be no second time. But they know what happened after that second. No, after that third time.
Yeah.
You notice that's just the father enforcing the mother's laws.
Oh, okay. Because I know a lot of times in religion, or like. It's a lot of dogma, where it's a lot of suppression of a woman. They'll take you to a certain point, but they don't expound even further. Like the brother, he went into more deeper aspects of it. But they take you to another level until we be
I've
like in servitude.
Right.
Let's
go even deeper. Right. I know exactly what you're talking about. So let's go even deeper. All right. When we're talking about the woman, we're talking about the woman. If you check her chromosomes, she have 2 X chromosomes. The X chromosome is larger, much larger than the Y chromosome. The man have an X and a Y chromosome. So the man has feminine, which is the X chromosome, and the Y, which is the masculine chromosome. All right, but we both possess 23 chromosomes apiece in order to make a 46 chromosome human being. Now, we're moving from 46 chromosomes to 48 chromosomes based on certain projections and certain things in which that is about to take place on the planet Earth. We're about to make the transition from a 4th dimensional consciousness into a 5th dimensional. So as we make that switch, there's more phenylene and DMT in which that is going to be excreted from the brain area, in which that is going to cause the crystallization of the pineal gland, not the calcification, which is going on within many people, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people, but the crystallization. In other words, when the kundalini comes up, it's going to transform the pineal gland into these lenses. There's 144,000 lenses surrounding the pineal gland. These 144,000 lenses is like actual lenses, just like glass. It's silica or sand. And as this energy comes up, the kundalini, it actually causes these particles to harden. And so it becomes like a diamond. So now this is the crystal city in which that is mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, all of this to say this is that the woman typifies this aspect of our transformation. All right? Because she is the one in which that is most easily to become spiritualized, all right? We know that sex is actually the quickest way to gain spirituality, all right? Now, the woman is sometimes in just one sexual aspect, if she's conscious of what is actually going on, she can actually spiritualize after one sexual, you know what I'm saying, rendezvous or one sexual intimacy act. all right, it may take the male weeks, days, months, years, you know what I'm saying, upon transformation. It's harder for us to transform because of our so-called broken chromosome, all right, which is that Y chromosome. That Y chromosome actually at one time was a X chromosome. However, we use that X portion, which is that lower leg portion, to elongate the clitoris, which is now our phallus symbol or penis. So that's actually where that portion of the Y actually so-called disappeared from within our DNA, but it reappeared on the human body. So now, if you look under the man's shoulder sack over to his anus, he has a sewn-up area there. We have the same organs now. The penis is nothing more than the elongated clitoris. The vas deferens tubes of the male is nothing but the fallopian tubes. The fallen testes of the man is nothing but the ovaries. You know, the perineum is nothing more than the vaginal, which was once the vaginal opening. So all of this is shown on the man, showing that within the 6 weeks, excuse me, in the womb, for those first 6 weeks, he was a female. And that testosterone had to be produced, you know, via the mother to the child through proper nutrients in order to transform this child into a male species. But for the first 6 weeks, he was essentially female.
Now, this is okay, that's what they were saying.
Right.
Oh, no, go ahead. So, I was saying that's why they say that having male children is like a miracle because we're able to produce something other than ourselves.
Right. Because there's also another known fact that scientists would tell you that women was on the planet Earth over 150,000 years before the male species.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how was that possible? Of course, women had the ability at one time to utilize the solar phatic energy of the sun. She was able to use sun worship, and she was able to open up her vaginal area to the sun, and the sun would impregnate her with the solar phatic rays, and she would become impregnated. The penis templifies that energy from the sun, which is called the aura.
That's why they call it the male energy, the sun.
Yeah.
Oh, energy.
The son of God.
Right.
Son of Ra.
The son of God. S-O-N, the S-U-N. And the crazy part is that the sun rays come down in a Y-X chromosome pattern.
Hmm.
Instead of an X-Y chromosome, but it still comes down in a masculine pattern, in a Y-X chromosome pattern. So that's why it says the woman had the immaculate conception, and she brought forth, as we would know, Heru or Jesus later on, which is the male species. All of that is symbolic to the fact of the son impregnating the woman through the vaginal canal, you know what I'm saying, and bringing forth, sparking that life of the masculine male, the masculine deity.
That means she had to produce her own sperm.
Mm-hmm.
And
she, yeah.
The money's suppressing a lot. The money's suppressing a lot of information.
Right.
That's a lot of power.
Yeah, it's right. A touchy subject for some people.
Right. Right. Well, this fact, which has sits over top of the woman's ovaries, of which that is connected to the Bartholian glands. The Bartholian glands is, you can check this out, and any scientist would tell you, when they checked out the Bartholian fluid, they found out that it was the same as prosthetic fluid. Now, you know what prosthetic fluid is? That is the fluid in which that comes from the prostate gland, in which that is semen. That produces semen. The woman has that.
These are
the clues in which that the woman have been searching for and need in order to show forth the fact that the human body. And when people want to say, well, you know, that contradicts the Bible about your rib. No, it doesn't. because it says Adam was made on the sixth day. The sixth day is talking about carbon. Carbon is the sixth element on the periodical charts. Six protons, six neutrons, six electrons. Uh-huh. That's talking about the human composition. Your physical body made of melanin is made of carbon. The major element of melanin is carbon. So you are a carbon being. Your penis is a carbon unit. So your physical body symbolizes atom because what happens? You have subatomic particles. You have atomic particles. You have molecular. You have cellular. And then you have hormones, blood, tissue, muscles, or flesh. That is evolution, or symbolic to ease. That is the evolution that they talk about, from a subatomic particle level to a physical manifestation. That's evolution. Evolution don't got nothing about talking about no damn monkey to no man.
Yeah, that's why when you read Genesis, it's talking about these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. You're talking about generation, you're talking about genealogy.
Yes.
Right.
Because Adam in the Hebrew, in the Arabic, means species. So it's talking about births taking place.
Yeah.
Right.
But really, that's still rooted into that science of breath then, and mastering of those different level of consciousnesses in order to strengthen us as a whole. Then that's what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Because right, you had interpersonal consciousness, intrapersonal consciousness, life consciousness, subconsciousness, superconsciousness, magnetic consciousness, and infinite consciousness. Those seven levels of consciousness, we fell from. We fell from infinite consciousness. Infinite consciousness, we fell.
And because we gained that.
Right, and it's only through the breath that you can gain that back. By you mastering the science of breath, give you the ability in order to jump into the various conscious levels and continue to graduate into the various conscious levels. It's only through the breath.
That'll be symbolic of the resurrection. Since we fell, that'll be symbolic of the resurrection.
Exactly.
The restoration, too, and rejuvenation, too, at the same time.
Exactly. All
exactly.
That. And that was the suppression part, because a lot of that has been abused. So we're kind of dumbed down.
Yes,
in regard to this information.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely, yes.
Okay. Makes sense, okay, I won't go no further. That was not right there.
All right.
All
right.
Unless you want to follow up some more or something, you have another aspect of it. That's all about knowing yourself. That's a science within itself.
So when you're talking about the chromosomes, what makes up the chromosomes? You have what's called RNA. It's called ribonucleic acid. You heard of it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I heard you talk about it on another I'll be honest,
right.
I heard you talk about it on another video.
Right. So the word ribonucleic acid, the first three letters is RIB, which is red. So what forms the chromosomes are the ribonucleic acids, or what is called the RNA, or what is known as the ribosomes, the ribs. So when they say that the rib came from the man, what they're talking about is that the woman has the extra leg in which that the man is missing, which is the rib, which is the RNA. It's not talking about the actual rib. It's not talking about the rib in a sense of, that if I count 12 on one side, it should be 11 on the other side.
Yeah, a lot of people like to stick on that point.
Right. They get out of their minds with that nonsense. That isn't what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about science here, and that's what the Bible actually was based on, was astrotheology and metaphysical and science. It's not just a history book. Okay? Well, I appreciate you, Goddess.
Okay.
You get ready to talk over here. I'm in closing
all
remarks,
right,
brother.
And thank you.
Well, thank you, Goddess.
And you brothers have a nice evening.
You too, sister.
You too.
Peace.
Any closing remarks, Brother L?
Yes, sir, brother. We did it again. Did some good tonight. As it shows that the callers calling in, had more callers calling in. Hope we have more callers calling in next time we have the show.
No doubt. Appreciate that. You know, we definitely will. You know, we're going to leave y'all. Brother Olabala, I think he got knocked off. Let me see if he's on here. He might have some closing words. Let me see if he's on here. Okay, now he got knocked off. So we are going to end, say peace to everyone, Islam, and we out. Let my people go. Thorough march.
Too high to get over, too low to get under.
Let my people go.
I make it feel so good, you don't need to wonder.
Let my people go.
I take away the storm cloud, the rain, the sun.
Let my people go.
Somebody say,
let my people go.
Somebody say,
let my people go.
Bitch, miraculously, sit back in this blood, exists for centuries. The body chemistry, men's wounds, heals injuries. My ministry leaves the industry in a tailspin. I push the envelope like U.S. mailmen. We need a leader who is not mischievous. Devious from Satan's literal leaders. Won't retract the fact, the act for thesis. In fact, the rat to pack with facts to teach us. Reach us, easily leave MC speechless. Read from the palm of the non-believers. Son, and they wondering how they become underachievers. One of the best, a perennial keynote speaker. I got it, you want it, come get it. I'll want it, and I will show you a way to let my people go today. Try to get over, slow to get under.
Let my people go.
I make it feel so good, you don't need to wonder.
Let my people go.
I take away the storm cloud, the rain, the sun.
Let my people go.
Knowing it's hard times for the people, huh? I knock your ass unconscious, put it up on YouTube, then film a sequel so it's free for the people, huh? Go ahead and download it, I'ma teach you how. Be as a prophet, a pastor, a preacher with undisputable logic for blasting through your speaker now. I'm trying to learn your monk ass, I'm trying to reach you now. Still you're like, who's this dude? Return to fix, shake the game like Rubik's Cube. Chicksy's rollick now, ruthless too. Pick the gospel on wax, pretty chooses to do. Damn, open your eyes, man, you've been bamboozled by the usual plan. Sit up the middle like Sam Usual. If y'all are telling me today's music is suitable and appealing, and I'm telling you the feelings are not mutual. Try to get over, you know to get under.
Let my
people
know.